Okay, finally. Again, my apologies. We ran into a load of traffic and a couple of detours, etc. Okay, where we are is on SQL functions. Somebody contacted me yesterday and said that when I had made the fix over here on presentations, I forgot to make the fix in here, and they're right, I did. They changed the address on me, and I very carefully fixed the address over at the side, but I didn't fix it in the week of. Okay, so if you are having trouble getting these, and it was the presentations, the PowerPoint presentations, try them again. They should be working now. But also over on the left underneath presentations, they were all working all right, because I made the big change there. The presentations are really backup of the notes. If you understand the notes, then the presentation isn't as important. If you're having trouble with the notes, the presentation kind of gives some extra examples. So I would go ahead and look at them. Okay, where we were last time was SQL functions, and that's where I'm going to pick up now. We had looked at the character or string functions, and those are dealing with a string field. Okay. When we get to the bottom, I'm going to get back and talk a little bit more about substrings. So if I forget to do that, remind me, please. Okay, then the next set going down are things that have to do with numeric. And basically, I'm not spending a lot of time on these functions. I just kind of want you to see that there's a wide variety of them, and when you have to use them, you can go look them up and figure out how to use them, but you're not going to memorize them all anyway. You're going to go and do a search and try to find Oracle truncate, and if you do that, you'll come up with some information about how it works. Okay, so here we have rounding and truncating. So if I take a number and I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and I round it to 2 decimal places, it rounds up. If I truncate to 2 decimal places, it just cuts off. Okay? So you can do both rounding and truncating.
So truncating is one side and round up or down, you said?
Pardon me?
You said truncating rounds up or down.
Truncate just truncates. It takes off the stuff.
Okay, so it cuts off this one.
Right, it just takes it off. Whereas round follows the rules of rounding. And in this case, it rounded up because there was a 6 there, so if there was a 2 there, it would have not rounded.
Okay. You can make it round down instead of up. Like say if I have 12.7, right? Okay, is there any way I can make the code round down to 12 instead of rounding up to 13?
Huh? Try that one more time.
I don't know if I said it weird, but like, so it follows the rules of rounding. So I mean, anything past 5,
right,
it goes up.
That's
if
right.
Below 5, it's
yes,
down.
Right.
Now, if I have a 12.7, can I still make it round down?
No, not that I know of. But you can truncate, and make it go away, make the 0.7.
The same thing, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
Okay, mod is. Taking allows you to return the remainder after division. Okay, so it gives you the remainder after division. And there are several places where when you're doing calculations, for example, one of the things that people do is they do a check digit. So that if you have an ID number, okay, the last digit of that ID number is frequently a check digit, which means that it is the result of a calculation that's done on the first digits. So let's say I have a 7-digit ID. The 7th digit would be the check digit. The first 6 you do a calculation on that gives you the 7th. So you can validate that it is a valid number, okay? And that's what happens with credit cards. when you enter in a credit card, it can tell you that it's a valid number or not because it does the calculation to get to come up with the check digit. Okay, and sometimes you'll get a, you know, a thing saying it's an invalid number. Okay, one of the things that it frequently does is in there is mod, where it goes in and has a divide happen and then returns the remainder. And so you see it in that particular calculation a lot. But if for some reason you want to know what the remainder is, mod does that for you. Okay, so here I said I wanted to take year goal and divide it by 12, and I wanted to have the remainder. Okay. So are you giving me the remainder when I take year goal and divide it by 12, the remainder is 8 when it's 500. Okay, so that's what mod does for me. Then I have the ceiling and the floor. Okay, which basically is giving me the whole number, rounded or not, or the below. I have power, so I can take it to whatever power I want to take it to. I have one that gives me a number that tells me whether it is a negative or a positive number. That one I don't think I've ever actually used, but you can. And then I get into dates. Okay, and dates, I should have taken a picture back up here. Okay, one of the things I can do is get the system date. So if I say select system date from Google, it comes back with the system date. And you can also call it system.dual. Okay, so I can get the current date, the system date. And then I have dates where I can do rounding, dates where I can do truncating. I can find the number of months between. I can add months on. I can find the next day. And I can get the last day of the month. So if you're trying to do calculations and add a month to find out what the date would be in another month, you can do that. You can play around with the dates and get the months in between and all of that good stuff. So you can do manipulation of dates. So if date first is July 3rd, and I round it, and I truncate it, okay, I can do the year, I can truncate the year, I can select the months between, and there's a whole lot of these. As I said, I'm not spending a lot of time on those, I just kind of know, want you to know that they exist. And then you can play with them. I can do conversions, so I can switch to character, I can switch to number, I can switch to date. So I can take in something and do conversions on it if I need to, because as in everything, there are times when you want to compare like things. And if one is a number and one is a string, it's better to convert them so they're both strings or both numbers when you do a comparison. And so the conversions let you do that. And there's a whole lot of other things with dates that you can use. You can work with DDD, for example, is the day of the year. DD is the day of the month, and D is the day of the week. Okay? So you've got all of those kinds of things that you can play around with. And you have hour using a 12 o'clock, and hour using a 24-hour-a-day clock, and that kind of stuff. so I did conversions down here on some of these things. And I've got you trying a few of these for homework. Okay, you can also add in a dollar sign and add in, for example, this one says select a character, and it is putting in a dollar sign. So this one is saying, I want to take the gold and I want to make it have a dollar sign and a comma in it. So the 500 now is a dollar sign, I'm sorry, dollar sign, comma, period. And now is the dollar sign, the 500, and it puts the 0.00 in. Because it's doing a conversion to dollar sign, and that understands that's the format I want to convert to. Because I gave it the year goal, comma, and then I told it how the style that I wanted.
Awesome. Which that, that little single quote, no, 99, that was the style.
That's the style that I wanted to convert to. So converted, doing it this way, and stuff like that. If I say converted to 9999PR, it comes out and puts a little less than a greater than sign around it. So it can convert it. Again, it's only converting it for the report. So if I want to convert it so that the report shows my dollars as dollar sign whatever, then I can put it in like this and convert it. But this is all prettiness. Okay, it's not going to change the data. The data is going to stay 500. But if for some report you want to show it in a different way, this gives you a variety of ways you can show it. And the NVL function converts null values to actual values. So there are times when you have a null and you actually want to print it out. For example, in my donor database, I have somebody called Carl Hershey who had null as the year goal. Well, if for my report I don't want to leave a space there, I would like to put a zero in, then I can say NVL year goal comma zero, and that means if it is null, put in a zero. Okay. Or down here, just for the fun of it, I said if it's null, put in a 10. And you can see that a 10 shows up. Okay, that's a fairly practical one because lots of times you don't want to leave, if you've got a numeric column, you don't want to leave something just blank. You'd rather fill something in. And the NVL can fill in a zero for you where you want that.
So I see you use NVL and you use 10 as a zero. Can I do an NVL function, use a string to convert the null into? Like, can I make null say, know your goal?
Yeah, you can have the NVL, your goal, to know your goal.
I can use that with NVL, it's not just the numbers?
I believe you can. To be honest, I don't know if I've ever tried it, but I think you can. It would make sense, the way most things work. You put it in quotes, single quotes over there. So as I said, when I got to the bottom of this, I wanted to talk a little bit more about string, substring rather. Okay, so when I do substring, if you look at it, it's got the data field M and N, and M is there, but N is in square brackets, which means it's optional. Okay, so if I have substring, I put the name of the field that I want to operate on. Okay, a substring of the original static. So if it's field A, I want to do it on. I put in field A. Now the next thing is where I want to start. Okay? And I can put a number there or I can put a formula there. Okay, so I can have a formula there where I am going to figure out what it is. So for example, if I want to locate the slash in the name field, I can put in the formula to locate the slash. And that can be doing something like an in-string, because I can put an in-string in there to tell it to locate the slash. So I don't have to just write a number there. I can put in a whole Oracle thing or a formula to tell it this is what I want to do. So I can put something in there. I can put a formula in out here so that it does something and then gives you the answer there.
Okay.
In most, I've told you that name conversion thing I give to all my classes. And if I give it in a programming class, what people usually do is write a series of separate commands. So they find the starting point where the name starts. They find the slash. Then they extract the first name and store it in a field called first or something like that. Then they have another command and they extract the last name and they store it in a field called last. And then they go and they concatenate those two things together. And so they made maybe four different commands, four different lines of code, and they come out with the final thing. When you're dealing with Oracle, you got to do it all in one. You don't get to write multiple lines of commands. You got to do it all in one. So I'm going to have a select statement, and then after the select statement, I'm going to have the code to extract the first name. Okay, because I want to extract the first name, middle initial. So I'm going to have the code to extract the first name. Then I'm going to put in a concatenate, and concatenate that probably with a space because I want a space between the first name and the last name. So I'm going to concatenate that with a space. And then I'm going to concatenate that with another substring series that will extract the last name. So I'm doing it all in one. I'm having the extract of the first name, the extract of the last name, and the concatenate it together, all being done in one line, one command. Could I do that in programming? Sure. But people tend to break it down. Here you can't break it down. So I can have a substring and then I can concatenate it with another substring so that I extract the names that I need. And within the extraction, when I'm doing the substring, I can have another command inside there, another command inside there. So I can have a substring field A, comma, then I can put in an in string. I can put in a length if I need to know the length of something. I can put in a bunch of other functions. So I can have a formula there or a function. And these can get very complicated, but I have to do it all in one select. So I'm pulling all of the information out in one select. Now, my suggestion is that when you're doing this, you keep it simple at the beginning and put in the code to extract the first name. And then when you've got that working, put in code to extract the last name. And then when you've got that working, put it all together as one. Rewrite it, but that you write it in bits to kind of experiment and then put it all together as one. Questions? Okay, the next one is more SQL functions. This comes as close to an if statement as you can. it's a case or if-then-else structure. It's as close as you come to being able to ask a question. Usually, in the select statements, you can't do much about asking questions. And that's why they have the language that we're going to look at in the last half of this course, which is PLSQL, which is the programming language using SQL. Okay?
I think I saw that because I was doing something for the homework, and I saw something like, it looked like normal, like, ID code, and like, I was putting Java or something, and looking at lines.
Yes.
Instead of how we had...
And that's PLSQL.
Is that more used in, like, common practice, like, corporation stuff?
SQL is probably used the most.
Really, more than PL?
Yeah. Yes, a lot of times with the PLSQL, they can choose to use another language. SQL is more the, I want to extract a query, and I want to save that so that I can do it again and again. And I really don't need a program for it. I can just write what I need. And we'll look at how to do reports as we go along. Okay, so this one says, select name, city, year, goal. And then after the comma, it has a decode. And that decode is all done, and the result is put into new year goal. So notice the comma here means do all of that and put it in new goal. So new goal is the alias for the result of doing the decode. Alias being the name I can give a field. So again, remember, I could have said select name, and then I could have put in there, before I put the comma, I could have put client, for example, if the name is a client. So I could have written name, which is the name of the field I want to extract, and then before the comma, I could put the word client, and then client would have showed up down here as the header. Okay, and they call that an alias. So what I'm saying here is extract the name, city, year, goal, and then I'm saying, okay, now for the next field, I want you to decode city. So basically what I'm asking here is if city is equal to CCOM, take the year, goal, and add 100. Else, if the city is Providence, take year, goal, and add 125. Else, if the city is Fall River, take year, goal, and add 150. Else just gave me the year goal. Well, I don't have any cities other than those three, so the else isn't going to happen. And then the new goal is the name that I want over the column that you store the year goal plus 100, year goal plus 125 in. Yeah.
All right, so decode syntax is that you can pick a field and the next comma over is what you want to do with that field?
Yes.
Okay.
So decode is saying, here we have, there it is up there. Okay, so I've got the column or expression that I want to look at, city. And then I've got the search value, and I'm searching for CCON. And then the resulting action is take the goal and add 100 to it.
All right, so you have the search, the actual areas of CCON. And then you have the kind of like the function, kind of what you want to do it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm basically saying what this is doing is saying if the city is CCOM, then I want to take year goal and add 100 to it. If the city is not CCOM, then I want to check and see if it's Providence. And if it's Providence, then I'm going to say, take year goal and add 125 to it. And if it's not Providence, I'm asking, is it Fall River? And if it's Fall River, I'm adding 150 to it. And otherwise, I'm just going to show year goal. So that's the if statement that it is going to execute.
Another question. Carl, per se out there, doesn't have a year goal. Is there a reason for that? Or is it the same as the
year? Right. So that means since he didn't have a year goal, he just gets a zero there. Oh, wait a minute, I'm down. On New Year goal, he gets a zero because he didn't get any of those things. Okay. Zero, basically, zero times zero is going to be zero. So he's got year goal. Well, no, counter is what? Profit. So he takes year goal and adds 125 to it, but since it's null, it doesn't do the calculation.
If you convert a null to zero, it wouldn't do that calculation.
Yeah. No, if the year goal was in there as zero, then it would have taken and done the add. So that's how year goal works. That's how decode works. And so decode is basically an if statement. And it's the way of asking a question where I can get it to act in different ways. And as I said, the interesting thing is decode is basically a formula that I'm putting in there, and then naming a new goal. So I'm basically putting in a formula, and then new goal.
I could, so say if I wanted Providence and CCOM, hopefully added by 125. I couldn't do it.
Wait a minute, I'm still doing this. Name, city, year goal, comma. Then I can put a formula and say I want the formula to be new year goal. The formula that I'm using in this case is the decode. And so the decode is my formula, and it is being put into New Year Goal. Okay, now go ahead.
So if I want to change CPONC, say CPONC or Providence, I want to both add their year goal by the same amount. I would still have to separate them, or if I...
You'd separate them.
Still.
Yeah. If you want to get into doing true if statements and making them more complex, you go to PLSQL. And there you can do your statement just like you do in the rest of the world. But if you wanted to do it, I don't know of any way, and I guess I could check and see if they change things. Well, maybe you can put doubles in there. So you just said, CCOM add 100, Providence add 100. And then they would just go through and add 100 for each one. And nested functions gets into, I want to do a variety of functions. So on this one, I'm saying, I want to first do the add months. Then I want to do, so I'm doing the inner one first. So I add 6, the date first. Then I do the add months. Then I do the months in between. Okay, so I do them in that order. And I'm going to look at the bottom example because it's a little bit clearer. Okay, so I started out here and I said, give me the length of state. Okay? And so then I say, okay, now that I've got the length of state, do a substring on city. The starting point is the length of state. Well, length of state is 2 on all of these, so this is, again, kind of artificial. So it's 2, and I say extract 4 characters. So that means I go to CCONC, and I extract 4 characters starting with the second character, so starting with the E. Okay? So here I've got the word state, and then I've got concatenate, and I'm concatenating city equals with a substring. So it will first do the length. So it will first do the length. Then it will back up and do the substring. then it will back up and do the sit Richard Henry. Okay, so I am saying, okay, state is two characters. Substring of city starting at two for four characters gives me E-E-K-O for Seacock. And now I want to concatenate the word city equals with that result that I got back. And I want to display this whole thing. And so it displays it. Now if I put an alias out here, it would display the alias name there. But since I didn't put an alias, I'm seeing concat and the C, and it's giving me as much of this command as it can fit over the answer. And then it's truncating the command on the top. Okay, it's truncating the column header. So it is going in and doing the inner one first, so I'm doing length, then I'm doing substring, and then I'm doing the concat.
Now, is it always in that order, or is it in that order because you want it in that order?
It's in order because I wrote it in that order. Okay, I figured out what I wanted to do, and I wrote it to do what I wanted to do. Questions? Okay, so that's what I said by I can have in my substring. I don't have to have numbers. My example on the first page, I think, is 3, 4. You can set in a character 3 and go for 4 characters. But I can have something here that is a function, or I can have a formula here. And then 4, I could have a function or a formula there. So I can have the field name, a function or formula, on another function or formula. If I don't do the last thing, okay, if I didn't have the 4 there, then it would have taken city, started where I said at the second, and it would go to the end. It would take the rest. So if I don't tell it how many characters to take, it takes till the end. And there you have to be careful about how the field was set up. Because if the field was set up for a varchar 2, it will work fine. But if the field was set up for character, then character, the spaces that come after it are part of the data. And you'll see a bunch of spaces floating around. So that brings me to the, when you're doing the name flip that I want you to do, I would make the name a varchar 2, not a character, so that you don't have to worry about the trailing spaces. So you want to make it a varchar 2 field. Questions? The next thing gets into group functions. So there are two kinds of functions in Oracle. There are functions that are individual functions, okay? And we looked at those. So with individual functions, it acts on every single one. So this has 6 records. When it acts on each individual record, and I see the individual results for each record. Okay, so I'm seeing the individual results for each record. There are those kinds of functions, and substring is one of those. Then there are group functions, and group functions act on a group of data. So if I want to know how many records I have, I can say select count, asterisk means everything, from number, and it comes back and tells me I have 6 records. Okay? So the group function allows me to get totals, it allows me to count, it allows me to do all of those things. It also allows me to do, as you can see up there, max, min, and standard deviation and variance, if you happen to remember how to do those, which I don't. But if it's been a long time since I did standard deviation, but anyway, you can also do those. Okay. So you have the functions that act on individual records, and then you have group functions that act on the group of records. Okay. So down here I said sect, select count, and NVL equals 0 gets me a 6. Okay. If I did a count of just your goal, I would get a 5. And I did it down here. Count of just your goal gives me a 5. Because your goal has a null in one of the fields. And that doesn't count. It's counting how many there are actually there. And if I want to count all of the records, then I can say NVL your goal is 0. And then it counts it and comes up with 6. But if I don't put that, it doesn't count it. And it comes up with 5. Okay? The average goal is also going to be done with an average. And here it is being done with an average of 6. Here it's being done with an average of 5. Okay? Because again, it's not counting it. So I can do average and I can do sum. And notice sum is the same because null and zero both have no impact. So sum is the same. But average adds up sum, and in one case divides by 6, in the other case divides by 5, and so I get different averages. Okay, so if I have, this is a place to use that null value. If I want to get an average of a column and I've got null values in there, I have to consider whether I want to include the null values or not. And if I want to include the null values as 0 when I'm doing the average, then I have to use the NVL. If I don't have any null values, I don't have this problem. But if I have null values, I have to determine whether I want them to count or not. Okay? Because again, 1100 divided by 6 is this answer. 1100 divided by 5 is this answer. And I have to determine what I want. Do I want... Okay? Do I want the null values to be considered as a 1 in the average or not? Considered as part of the count. And again, sum doesn't matter. I did the conversion in sum just because I was converting everything. But sum doesn't matter because sum is going to ignore null. And sum is going to add in 0 when the results are the same. Okay, I can go in and say I want to know what the minimum is and what the maximum is. So it is looking at year goal and saying what's the minimum year goal in the donor table, what is the maximum year goal in the donor table. I can get the minimum year. I can do a discount of distinct year goals. Distinct meaning only ones that are different. So that would mean if I get a count of distinct at 4 and I know I have 6 records, that means there's a couple that are duplicates that aren't counted in there. Not sure I took a picture of that, so. Okay. and I did standard deviation and variance, even though I, as I said, I don't remember what they are, but that's how they came out when I did them. Anybody know what standard deviation and variance are? Okay.
At 1 point.
Yeah, exactly. I knew it at 1.2. And if I looked it up and really needed to know, I'm sure I could find it, but...
Somebody knew statistics.
Okay. Then if I want to do totals, but I want to do it on groups, I decided I wanted to count, and I wanted to group by state. So I now find out that I've got 4 records in Massachusetts and 2 in Rhode Island. So I can group by state. So I counted city, and notice I didn't count distinct city, I'm counting city. So, and there's entry in all the city columns. Okay, so I picked a field. Lots of times I pick ID number when I want to do that, because that I know there's going to be an ID in every single field. So I can do a count based on that. So I group by state. Then I can say, I can put in here a where clause and say, and this is important, and we'll see it as we go down. As we are forming the groups, so as we are forming the groups, I'm eliminating the sequence. Okay, so it says from donor where city is not equal to seconc. So that means as we're forming the group, seconc doesn't count. Okay, it eliminates seconc. And therefore, I only get 3 in Massachusetts instead of 4. Because I eliminated seconc as the group was being formed.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Is if you were to take the exclamation out and put the not in there, would that be the same thing?
Yes.
You can cycle those?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Exactly the same thing, like every function?
Yeah, isn't it not, I always use this one, isn't it not city equal to seconc? I think it was the not before the city. I tend not to use the not because for just that reason. Is I don't like the way it positions itself, and I like the not equal. But I think that the not, if you go back and look up the not, I'm pretty sure I'm remembering.
Well, not also has priority over everything, correct? Has priority over and ors?
Yes.
Does that priority over and ors?
Yes. I mean, this is going to not, doesn't. If that's only if you have something complex. So I'm eliminating seconc. Anybody looking up the not? If you go, I believe it's not city equal to seconc.
That's correct.
It's not.
It's part of the where, so where not is actually the
right.
Clause.
So it's where not city equals seconc. And as I said, I just like the not equal. I don't know, it's clearer to me. So I tend to use the not equal and not use the not on the outside. And what I really, really, really try to avoid is double negatives. So a not and the negative inside drives me crazy. Without a flowchart, I can't do that. I have to look at the logic and follow it when you get into a double knot.
Huh? It sounds like it can cause confusion.
It does. And so I do everything I can to try to express things in the positive, not in the negative, and definitely not in the double negatives. Okay? So now I can also throw in the clause order by state, and I'm ordering in descending order by state. So what we're seeing here is you can have a whole load of clauses. I could have kept the where city, the group by, and then put the order by on that too. So you can keep this select statement, this innocent little statement that is, oh, it's only a select, can have umpteen clauses on it that make it, you know, far more complex. And they make it far more accomplished. It can accomplish an awful lot. So this is going to be group by state and order by state. And I said I wanted it in descending order. Then down at the bottom, I said you can also use a function in the order by. Let's say I wanted to order by the count of cities. So I can say order by the count of cities. And so I can have in here a function or a formula of some kind if I want to make it more complex. Yeah.
Just so when I struggled this with the MySQL. The where comes first, it has to come first, then
yes.
The group by, and then the order by.
Yes.
It came out of that sequence.
Right.
Yeah, it has to know what's ordering by.
You definitely have to have the where first. I always do it group and order by. I'm pretty sure it has to be in that order. I'm pretty sure you can't flip those. We actually should have opened Oracle and then we could try it. But at the end, maybe these two questions we have, we can go back if I think we're going to have a little time and actually open Oracle and try these. So try to remember that question. So then I came down and said, okay, now I want to select state, contact, and sum of year goal from donor and group by state and contact. Okay, so now we're getting into having to be careful about what we put up there and talk about it. I am saying group by. And I'm saying I want a sum of year gold. So I'm saying, okay, I want to select the state, the contact person, the sum of year gold from donor. And I want to group by state and contact person. Okay? So I have told it I want to break it down into the state and then the contact person. And I have multiple contact people from in there. In the contact person, if you look at the file, there are multiple contact people in there. So I am breaking it down. I'm grouping by contact and then state. So I'm getting state with the contact person within the state. Okay. So the deal here is that because I'm grouping by state and contact, I can have state and contact up here. But if I had decided I just wanted to group by state, then I couldn't have contact up there. Because notice there are multiple contacts within a state. So if I'm saying just group by state, then I can't have contact person up there, because which contact person would it show? Okay? So since I said group by state and by contact, I can show state and contact. I can show the sum of year goal because I'm getting the sum of year goal on the groups. So the group is by, the sum of the year goal is by the contact person within the state. And so all of those apply to the group by. But I can't have a field up there that doesn't apply to the group buy. So if I just did select state and some year gold, then it would give me a some year gold from the state. But if I, and if I'm sorry, group buy, if I said select state and then group by state, some year gold would be about the state. But since I said contact, some year gold is going to be by the contact within the state. If the contact person showed up in two states, they'd be included in those two. One would be included in Massachusetts. They wouldn't be the same person. They wouldn't be treated as the same if they were in these different states. Okay. So that is really a critical thing that I have to be careful. If I'm grouping by state and contact, I can put state contact up here. And if I put a function up here, it is going to be acting on state contact. It is not, I can't put something up there that doesn't relate to the thing that I'm ordering by. And that gets tricky. Okay, so now I said, okay, now let's do that and let's eliminate John Adams. Okay, so I'm still organizing by state and contact. And as I organize, I am eliminating John Adams. So as I put the groups together, John Adams is not going to be there. Anything with John Adams is not going to be there. So it then shows up. And I don't see John Adams in the output because he was eliminated when I was forming the groups. So the where eliminates when I'm forming the groups. Okay? So then you get down here and it says a tricky part of grouping is when you use the where clause and when you must use the having clause. My understanding is that if you restrict prior to forming the groups or as the groups are being formed, the where clause is used. Okay? If you want to form all the groups and then eliminate one of the groups, you use having. So where eliminates as the groups are being formed. If you want to form all the groups and then eliminate a group, you use having. So if I wanted to get a totals, for example, sums, and then eliminate any groups that didn't have a sum over a certain amount, I would use the having. So the having eliminates groups after the groups have been formed. Okay? And the where eliminates as the group is being formed. Now you can have both. I can eliminate certain contact people as the groups are being formed, and then eliminate certain states if I wanted to, once the groups have been formed. So I can have both the where and the having. And sometimes it doesn't matter. You know, you could do it either way. But the different, you know, you get the same results. There are times when you could, doesn't matter which one you did, you'll get the same result. So, you know, if I eliminate John Adams as the groups are being formed, I'm going to get the same result as if I eliminate John Adams after the group has been formed. Okay, and this is the one down below that I talked about getting the sum. I can't eliminate sum as the groups are being formed because I don't have sum as the groups are being formed. I only have the sum after the group has been formed. Okay, as I'm forming groups, I keep adding the sum. So I don't have the final answer there. So the where can't have that sum in there because the where is only as the groups are being formed. So the where can't be there. But if I turn it into the having, because the having acts after the groups have been formed, then it works. Okay, so some things it's important that you can't get totals, you can't get things like that as you're forming the groups. You get those after the group has been formed. And then I came down here and put them all together. So I said, okay, now select the state and the contact and the sum year goal from donor. Eliminate John Adams with the where clause as the groups are being formed. The groups, by the way, are state and contact. Once the groups have been formed, the having will eliminate anybody or keep anybody that has a sum year goal greater than 100. And I want to order by sum year goal. Okay. So I have said eliminate John Adams, and as we know from looking up above, that got rid of a record. And then I'm saying, okay, now I only want the ones with the sum of year goal greater than 100. And so I'm getting all of those. And then I'm saying I want to order by that. Okay. So in this particular one, I've got a where, a group by, a having, and an order by. So I'm putting a whole load of clauses in there that it's acting on. Questions. This is tricky.
I don't really get why where it says only this flavor can
somehow this lovely machine is making it so I can't hear what you're saying.
Like how you can't list things and group by and select.
Okay, I'm still not understanding. It's just the book. I'm not understanding.
It's just like how you're explaining about
ID number up here because I'm grouping by contact and then state within contact, and so there's going to be multiple records with different IDs. Which ID would I show? So when I make a group, there are multiple records in most of the groups, and so I can't pick just a field that would be different for each of the records in the group and show, for example, an ID, because in the group of contacts within a state, there might be there will be multiple IDs. So if I said select state contact ID, it would say I can't do that because the ID number occurs on multiples of these. Sum year goal is a total that is going to be formed based on the contact and the state, so it can show sum year goal. And in fact, this is an interesting thing because in Oracle, they give you an error on that if I tried to put ID in there. in MySQL, they didn't give you an error. They let you go ahead and stumble along through. And, you know, they may fix that. I keep looking every semester when I teach the PhD class that uses MySQL to see if they fix that, because they really should. But they haven't, or at least they haven't. Okay? So if you put in a field like name, the name of the person in here, it's not going to allow you to have name there, because name, when I get a group, there's going to be people with different names. So which name should it pick? So that's why you can't have other fields up there, is because they're not unique. If I'm grouping by contact, contact's unique. If I'm grouping by state, state's unique. But name would not be unique, so that's why it can't be there. Does that make it clearer? Okay. And the air conditioner is a wonderful thing. Okay. It's also a great background for my recordings. Okay. So anyway, huh? Oh, you are. It's great background. Okay. It only luckily goes a month or so, and then they end that. So that is the kind of tricky part of this. And then I've got that I can say, okay, I want an average year goal by state. In this one, I'm saying I want to get group by state. I want the average year goal in the state, and I want to show the minimum of which one is the smallest. And if I group by state in contact, then I get the minimum for that. Okay? So I can say I want to see the average for each group, and now show me, you know, get put together the average for each group, and now show me the minimum one. Okay, because it does the inner thing first, so I put together the average, and then it does the minimum one. Okay. Questions? Next Tuesday, we can bring up Oracle and try playing with a few of these things. There's one other thing that I want to show in the next 5 minutes, and that's the script. Okay? And again, I'm going to go back over this on Tuesday when we bring up Oracle. Maybe I should have brought up Oracle today, but we didn't. So this is the script to create the employee table. Okay, so I've got a script here, and if you click on it, notice it is named createEmployee.sql. It's got an SQL name. And I put in here the create table employee copy. Okay, and I said, okay, here's the description of the table, and I put it in, so I have the create statement. Then I have all of the inserts. Okay, so I have a whole load of inserts. And remember, we talked about null one time. There's null in there, and it doesn't have quotes around it. We talked about that. So I've got a script now of all the inserts. And so after the insert, I now have saying select asterisk from employee copy. So what this script does, let me go back and take a picture of the create. Okay, so I'm hitting on the create there. And what this script does is it creates a table, it populates the table, and then it shows me the result. Okay, so I made a script for this to do this. And you can copy this script and make this at home. So you can copy and paste the script. I mean, literally, just copy and paste. And the and we hope that I got it right. Okay, so it says you can edit, create employee, or another name at the SQL prompt. So I enter the word edit, which brings up the editor. And then I enter the name. Okay, and as I said, we'll do this Tuesday when we bring it up, but if you wanted to do it over the weekend for some reason, I'm just showing you how. So I can write at the prompt, edit createEmployee.sql. That brings up the editor. Okay, so it brings up the editor. Okay. Now, what you're going to do if you're using PuTTY, and you all are, you have the script text in Notepad. So you're going to open mine and put it in Notepad. Okay, so just download mine and put it in Notepad. Highlighted, when you go into the editor, right-click, and it will paste it in. Okay, right-click is the important thing. The editor doesn't work right if you do the normal way you paste, Control-V. Okay, you're going to right-click. So when you right-click, it will paste it. Or you can use Shift and Insert to paste. You then do the right, which was the caret going up, O, and then do an exit, which is the caret going up. What is that one called? The kind of carrot that goes like that? I don't know. It's a carrot. Okay. And so then you do the carrot and the exit and it exits. And you now have it. So back at the SQL prompt, you can enter the at sign and it will execute. And that will create the table for you, populate it with my data that we hope is right, but you're not going to do enough data if I got the data wrong. And so then you can have the file there. Okay, so you just copy it down to your hard drive, put it on Notepad, then go in to the editor and say, edit this. Highlight it in Notepad, right-click in the editor, and it will paste in there, and then you have it, okay? Do the right, which is the caret O, then do the exit, which is the caret X, and then when you get back to the SQL prompt, use the ampersand, and it will run. And that will create a table for you, okay? Now, if you go in and do a search for Oracle EMP, only I typed Oracle E, didn't type the right thing. Okay, come on, there it is. Oracle EMP and department. Okay, so there is, those are the standard tables that Oracle, and I did a search for Oracle EMP, and those are some standard tables that Oracle provides. One of them is the department table, which has three fields in it. And this is putting on a primary key. And we haven't really gotten into primary keys yet, but it doesn't do any harm, so you can just go ahead and put that constraint in, creates a primary key on the table. Okay? And a constraint can also create a foreign key, and we'll get into all of those as we're going along, but that's the create table employee. And so you can go and get these, and if you want to create the department table, you can use these. And then they give you all of the insert clauses, so they basically give you the stuff that you can copy and paste and make your own script if you want to create the employee and the donor table. And I thought there was one more that went with it. Let me try if I put in the word employee table. There's the ones. I knew there were more. Employee department bonus and sal grade. Okay, and this time I did the search for our Oracle employee table. And there are actually four sample tables that Oracle uses for a lot of the things that it does. And so if you go get those sample tables... So there's the create, and there is the data. And you can go ahead and just put those in if you want to create those tables. And we'll play with that on Tuesday. I'm done.